Hello, this is Larry Goins, and welcome to the bi-weekly Q&A calls. How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Doing good.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. It's been about 3 weeks since we've been on here. I think the last time we had one, I was actually on a cruise ship. And even though I called in, it was kind of a little hard to hear or whatnot, but we had a few people on. It was kind of a short call. But, yeah, I'm actually in San Diego right now, out at a mastermind, and all about real estate investing. The mastermind I've been in for about 5 years now. So it's really good, and so I continue my education as well. So without further ado, I've already started the recording of the calls. So just bear in mind that you guys can listen to the recordings anytime. I record them all, and they're posted on the webpage for you guys. There is a password that you need to get in, but if you don't know what that is, you can email customerservice@larrygoins.com, and Corn will send that out to you. So who wants to jump in with a question?
Well, Larry, this is Michelle. My question, my first question would be, where else can I find the REOs, you know, besides through the REO bookmarks? Let's say I run out of leads right through there and stuff. Where else could I actually look?
Good question, good question. All REOs, unless they're selling in bulk, will be on the MLS. And the most current, accurate, up-to-the-date information for the MLS is going to be at Realtor.com. That's the absolute quickest, fastest. I shouldn't say quickest, fastest, but it's the most current and accurate information. The second site that is right behind that, it's usually like a day or so behind, is Zillow.com. But Zillow will have all of the listed properties as well as for sale by owner properties that get listed on Zillow as well.
Right. Okay. Perfect.
So I know there's a lot of individual banks that are listed in the bookmarks in our home study courses. However, they might be on the bank website, but they're also going to be on Realtor.com. So if you're looking for a specific area, like a specific bank is in your own local area or primarily in your state, you know, you could do that, or you have a relationship with that bank, you might want to look on the bank site, but they're all going to be listed on Realtor.com, because unless they sell in bulk, I don't know of a single bank that will not list their property on the MLS, because as a bank, they want to get the most exposure as possible. So the whole process is, the bank hires an asset manager who hires a realtor who sells the property. Does that help?
Okay. Yeah, I guess in lieu of that too, basically, could I use my own realtor that I've already have that, you know, gives me access to MLS?
Sure.
Would be
sure you could.
Okay. And then two would be the other part to what you just said would be you're talking also about like the transfer to defaults or short sales. Would all those be included?
Well, a short sale will not necessarily be on Realtor.com. A short sale is basically a property that is in default, and
right,
it may be the only way you know or are able to find out about that is by marketing to people who are in default. And you can buy what they call NOD list, notice of default. It's properties that have been sent a notice of default letter and are in default, and you can look those up. You can buy those. There's list people out there that provide them. It's public information, so that is one source to get them, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're actually going to be trying to sell the property yet.
Okay, gotcha. So basically,
good.
The bank going, like, what would it look like on the MLS then? Like, if I'm searching through my MLS, what does that look like?
Which part?
I guess on the remarks part when it's trying to tell you.
Yeah, you could look for keywords, keywords like short sale, in foreclosure, something
okay.
like that. But I personally would not specify and specifically look for properties that were short sales or were
right.
in default. I'm simply going to look for a geographic area, minimum number of bedrooms, baths, square footage, age, and price range.
Larry.
Gotcha.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Larry.
Yeah.
Bob, yes.
Short
Bob,
sales.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, sir. Short sales, as you know, you should probably stay away from them. They take forever and ever to get a response from the seller.
The bank.
And to work
yeah.
out a short sale.
That's true.
Okay.
And, Michelle, listen, Bob is a realtor, been in the real estate business for many, many years. And he knows from experience, not only doing some on his own, but doing them for other clients as well. So I always call a short sale is a long buy. So you can
okay.
work short sales, and thanks for Bob for pointing that out, but it is a long buy and can take forever, and I hate a short sale. Hate a short sale.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And a lot of short sales, the people still live in the house. I shouldn't say a lot.
Okay.
I don't know. Some of them they do. But when I'm looking through the MLS, when I'm looking for
mm-hmm.
a property for sale, this is just a personal thing, and you can do it any way you want to. But
yeah,
when I see a house that has furniture in it, unless it's a real cheap house, I just move on.
Yeah, okay.
I do. I just move on.
Yeah, because
if it's if it has furniture in it, I'm sorry?
Because then you take the risk of maybe having to foreclose on it.
Well, no, I just mean if it has furniture in it,
okay.
then it's
uh-huh.
an individual selling it, and they live there currently, typically, and
okay.
and I just don't want to be messing with them. You know, they probably owe something on it, and it might be a short sale, but they probably have a mortgage on it. And
gotcha.
And
yeah.
I'd just rather look for the bank-owned properties personally, and most of the and
okay.
those are going to be vacant.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good, good. Bob, thanks for jumping in on that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just for a sidelight, we're getting ready to close on a short sale that we have sold. If it closes in the next week, we will have sold this property 8 times. I had it under contract. This is the 8th time, and I think it's finally going to close.
Oh, wow.
Well, and your seller is doing a short sale, right?
A short sale. We got an approved short yeah. sale, and everybody's agreed. We're just waiting for time to pass now.
And it took 8 times to get it to the closing table.
Yeah, and this yeah. wasn't going to work. But I told my agent, I said, "Listen, we got to do something here." And we went to all the creditors, and one creditor knocked $2,500 off of a debt, and another one knocked $1,500, and the homeowners association knocked off $1,000, and we're going to make it work this time.
Mm.
That's great. That's really good.
That's a record.
Well, good.
8 times. I never sold a house 8 times.
The same house.
I've
never,
heard
had
that.
To, right? That's funny. Anybody else have a question?
I got another one if nobody else wants to speak. I got 4.
Yeah, that's fine. Jump in. Nobody else is jumping in. Go ahead.
All right. Another is on the one-page contract that you have, you know, for, you know, to acquire a property, that one-page
right.
contract, can we use that, like, for what? On the, like, you know, if we run into, like, a for sale by owner person or, you know, just out, you know, scanning the neighborhoods or whatever?
Yes, if you want to use that one page, I would use that for the for sale by owners. However, if you have someone that, now this is a very, very good tip right here. If you have someone that's very skittish, if they're like, well, I want to get my attorney to go look at this, or, you know, yeah, you can bring over the paperwork, but I'm going to have my attorney check it out. I'm going to have whatever, my brother-in-law who's an attorney or works for an attorney or wants to be an attorney or whatever it is. If you think they're going to be a little skittish, here's what I would do. I would use the regular realtor form, like in North Carolina, you know, the North Carolina Association of Realtors form. In Florida, it's called the FARBAR form, the Florida Association of Realtors form. In Georgia, it's called GAR, Georgia Association of Realtors. You know, if you want to, you can take that realtor logo off of there. Bob might tell you the same thing. But what I do is if I got somebody that's skittish, I'm going to use that same document. But whenever I go to them, if they say, you know, I want to get my attorney to look at this, you know, what I say is, you can do that. However, I just want you to know, this is the same document that every real estate broker in the state of North Carolina uses for every real estate transaction. Now, unless your attorney is going to tell you whether or not it's a good deal for you, you know, if not, ask them how much they're willing to pay you for your house.
Okay. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yep, that makes perfect sense.
Hey, Larry, that's a good. Larry, this is Bob. That's a good point about those contracts. In South Carolina, in particular, Columbia has their own contract that is, in fact, different than the state of South Carolina, which is statewide. And so, the idea is that the state contract will say on it that it's used. Can be used, you know, by anybody for real estate transactions. So, but the local Columbia one doesn't say that.
Wow, that's good. Well, yeah, I would use the state approved one then. And then that way, if you've got somebody that's skittish, if for sale by owner, now naturally, if you're buying a bank owned property, you know, a REO or anything that's listed on the MLS, it's going to be the state approved agreement unless you're in Columbia, like Bob said, and they have their own. But
but
anyway,
you can still use
if you're dealing with
form.
The for sale by owner, I'm sorry?
You can still use the state form in Columbia. You just don't have to. I'm just saying that's the form you want to use in Columbia if she were in Columbia.
Right. Oh, okay. Okay, good. Good. That's good to know. Yeah, but it does help you if you're dealing with the for sale by owner that's really skittish or, you know, I want to have my attorney look at this. You know, you can just come back with them and say, you're welcome to do that. It's a cash offer. It's as is, where is, and it's on the same document that every real estate agent in the state of, whatever the state is, uses for every real estate closing. So unless your attorney is going to tell you, you know, how much your house is worth, and I don't think they're probably an attorney and an appraiser, then, you know, I don't really see any point in you having them look at it.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, good.
Okay.
Cool, does that help?
Uh-huh.
Excellent.
Yep.
That's great,
cool.
That's great.
Just that much more because, I mean, I've already been looking through this weekend, you know, nailing down and seeing what was kind of out there through all the bookmarks. And I think I eyeballed North Carolina, South Carolina itself, about four or five of them. That, you know, I could put offers on, but I just wanted to get, you know, just all my eggs in one basket before I started shooting out the door.
Yeah, well, you be sure if you have a property that you want to, you know, that you get close on or whatever, you be sure and shoot it over to me. I'll be glad to take a look at it for you, okay?
Okay, yeah, because I saw four or five, I mean, but I don't know how fast they'll go, but, I mean, I'll definitely look at those again and see if they're still there.
Yeah. When you get close on one, after you submit your offer and start getting counters and get really close to it, before you put it under contract, you let me know. I'll be glad to take a look at it for you, okay?
Okay, I shouldn't do that. So, yeah, once I get an offer accepted and before we throw it under contract, I'll just do that.
That's a really good point. Yes, absolutely. Yeah, don't just be sending a bunch of listings, but once you get it, you know, close to getting tied down, let me know, and I'll be glad to give you some feedback on it.
Great. All right, perfect.
Awesome. Anybody have a question? Sometimes we have a bunch of people on and a bunch of questions. Sometimes I got to pull them out of you.
I got one more.
Yeah, you go ahead. Jump in. Nobody else is doing it. You go ahead.
Yep. All right, and then how many bandit signs should I, like, start with? You know, because was hearing, like, on one of your DVDs for the realtor, that once you threw in the offer and all that, and if it closed, you know, you said you were going to go out and, you know, send out, you know, either a Bennett sign or a banner, whichever, you know, he thought was good for it, and then a lockbox. So how many should we kind of have, like, in reserve, like 5, 10, 20?
Okay, here's that's a really, really good question. I'm glad you said that. You know, once we close on it and we own it, then you can go put your bandit sign in the yard of the property. But, like, if I'm buying a house through Bob, okay, and mm-hmm. Bob is the listing agent, and he's got his sign in the yard, once I get the house under contract, I can't go put my sign in the yard beside his or even take his down and put my sign out. I've got to wait until I buy it and close on it. But what I can do is I can go put out about 20 signs all over the area. You know, some are in the neighborhood at intersections. Some are in front of Walmart, CVS, convenience stores, grocery stores. You know, I'm going to put signs out all over, all right? And then I'm going to start generating calls. And we'll let them know. You know, we're not putting the address in the ads or anything. If we run ads on Craigslist, we're not going to put the address in any of our marketing. We're going to call the people. We're going to qualify them. And I got scripts in the training, too, that you're going through. But we're going to qualify the buyers, whether they're buying with owner financing or they're cash buyers. And then if the property hasn't sold by the time it comes close to buying it, closing on it, we'll make a decision. Why have we not sold this house yet? Is it because of the area? Is it because of the condition? Is it because the price is too high? Okay? It's really one of those three things. It's either the area, the condition, or the price. So, and those are three things that I can't change without renegotiating the deal. Okay?
Gotcha.
You know, the only thing I could really change is the price by renegotiating the deal. So, so if I haven't closed on it, I'm going to determine, well, you know, have I got enough interest that I can probably still sell this house even after I close? Then we'll go ahead and close on the deal. If not, we'll pass on it. We'll back out of the deal before closing. We don't have to do that often, but occasionally we do.
Okay.
Yeah. Did that help?
Yeah, that helped a lot. Yeah, and that's probably good. Something more I need to probably do anyway, like that property I have there in Salisbury.
Hey, listen, I want you to call me. I'm out of town all week this week, okay? But I want you to call me at my office one day next week, and let's get a little game plan going on that Salisbury house that you bought, okay?
Yeah, because I'm getting nibbles. I'm getting quite a few nibbles, you know, people calling about it, and then, you know. And then
did you put out all those signs I talked to you about?
No, and that's one thing I didn't do yet.
Okay.
So.
Well, you call me next week, okay?
Because we're going to get a contractor out there tomorrow morning. He's going to show up tomorrow morning to give us a repair estimate.
Good. Well, I know you bought that house before you met me, but I'm going to help you get out of it, okay?
That would be awesome because I'm going to start getting nervous.
Did you back out of that other deal? That other deal
we were able to
had
because
under contract before you met me? Were you able to back out of that deal?
We were. It was the Habitat Humanity house, and the owner, he was trying to sell it out from Habitat for Humanity, and I guess wasn't supposed to yet. So, but he had his.
Yeah, they typically have to live there X number of years. I think it might be 5, maybe 10, before that loan can be forgiven.
Yeah, he was caught also with renting it out. Too, so.
Oh, really?
And they sub-rented a room to one of their family members.
Wow.
So it was rented with a room to rent too. And
well,
you
at least you were able to get out of that deal because there was no equity in that deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
And I got
there was
nervous.
No money to be made there.
I was my realtor, and I was kind of going with him because I mean, on his side of how he was looking at his, you know. His way of doing stuff. I got it, but then I got a couple calls actually out of it, but nothing, you know, I'm getting more calls out of Salisbury than I was the Charlotte one. So, that kind of told
me. Unfortunately, there wasn't any money in that deal.
Yeah, so.
Based on the numbers, yeah.
Yeah, I see where you were going. I thought, you know,
so I guess
this group here, it got me to forget, you know, about doing the regular rehab kind of numbers, you know, that we always do.
Right.
So.
Exactly. Well, I know I went a long roundabout way, but to answer your original question, you know, you can order as little as 20 or 25 signs to start out with.
20 or 25, okay.
Yeah, and that'll give you enough to go around, you know, that house in Salisbury especially.
Okay, and that'd be
good.
Like the ones like for sale by owner and, you know, just those general signs.
Well, yeah,
right?
Call up. If I remember right, you're not doing the seller financing. You're going to do the wholesale deal on the house in Salisbury. So call up banditsigns.com or go to banditsigns.com and look up their number and call them and tell them you want the Larry Gunn sign that says foreclosure on it.
Okay?
Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm not an affiliate. I don't get paid a commission or anything, but they'll know what you're talking about. When you just tell them. You just tell him Larry Goins told me to call. I want the sign that he gets that says foreclosure and has the arrow on it.
Okay.
Good.
Got it. Thank you.
Excellent. You're very welcome. You're very welcome. Any more questions? Who's got a question? Now, I know somebody's got to have a question. Everybody's just sitting back in the sidelines.
Well, I ran out of questions, Larry. I'm sorry.
Sure, that's okay. No, you're out of questions? What?
I'm out. I ran out.
That's okay. If you think of one, you jump right in there. So
right.
Who has a question about a deal you're working on, about the market, about a model, about anything, whatever it is, doesn't make any difference.
Hey, Larry, this is Don in Houston.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Doing good. Listen, I haven't lined up any private money yet, but question came up about that I have about a personal guarantee. If anybody asked for a personal guarantee, would you offer a personal guarantee?
On private money?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, probably not. Second, if you're using people's IRA money or self-directed retirement account money, you are not allowed to give a personal guarantee. It has to be what's called a non-recourse loan.
Oh, okay, that's interesting, because I do go to IRA meetings.
Do you go to Quest
yeah,
IRA
events? Yeah, that's the one I go to, yeah.
Yeah, good. I know Quincy. Those are good guys over there.
Yeah.
I have 3 accounts with them.
Wow.
Yeah. So,
okay.
I like Quest. I like Camaplan and Equity Trust as well. And but, yeah, Quest, that's some good places to go to get private money because, I mean, literally, Quest has billions of dollars sitting on the sidelines earning 0% interest, and those people need to be writing a check to somebody to get a return on their money. But you cannot give a personal guarantee whenever you're using their retirement funds. Otherwise, it's not allowed if you're borrowing money on a property.
Okay. But would you, with another private money lender, would you do a personal guarantee? I'm asking, should I or didn't I?
Probably
not.
Probably not, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too. You know, I would want the property.
They should be satisfied enough with the equity in the property that you shouldn't have to give a personal guarantee. You know,
okay,
you should be able to tell them, look, if you don't believe that the best thing that can happen is I default on this property and you get the property back that's worth X times more than the money you loaned, then if you don't believe that, then you shouldn't make the loan.
Yeah.
Whether it be 1.5 times or 2 times or two and a half or three times or whatever, then they shouldn't make the loan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that
that's what. Yeah, yeah, definitely. That's what I was thinking. No, that's great. That's really interesting. No, that answers it.
Good.
Thanks a lot.
That's good. Oh, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Hey, does Quincy go to those meetings, or do they have other people that go there to facilitate?
Yeah, I've been to a few of them. Quincy will be there. A couple weeks ago, I was at one. Nathan was doing it, and then they've got another one of their VP. Nate Hare, he'll do them sometimes too.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
And then
that's
they'll do
good.
A little.
Do they usually have many people there?
The ones I've been to, I don't know, maybe 20 or so.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they do events at in Houston and Austin, I believe, and DFW area, Dallas Fort Worth.
Yeah.
They're getting ready
I've
to open
those.
Up a branch in Charlotte, I believe.
Hmm. Yeah, no, they're pretty good. They'll do some training afterwards also after the main meeting. They'll have other, you know, investors there as well.
Good.
Do a presentation.
That's great. Yeah, they're good events. Self-directed IRAs are probably the best place to go get private money.
Okay. No, that's great.
Yeah. Excellent. So good.
I found a good one.
Awesome. Yeah, they're good. They are good. And they have a lot of money sitting on the sidelines that need to be invested. And, you know, think about this. Do you know why Quest has so many training events as to show people where to invest their money? Do you know why they do that?
You know, not exactly, no.
I'm going to tell you, okay? Because a custodian like Quest, whether it's Quest or Camel Plan or Equity Trust or, you know, IRA services or Kingdom Trust or whoever, they make their money on transaction fees. When somebody requests an investment, like if they loan you money, they're going to get a transaction fee for that money coming out of the account.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when they open up an account, yeah, they might make 50 or 100 bucks or something for opening up the account. They might have an annual fee. But the way they make their money is every time somebody makes an investment, they buy something, they sell something, they buy a note, they get an option, you know, they cash out a deal. Every time they do a deal, that's when they make money. So they want to give people as many options as they can to get them to invest that money and get it out of the account so they can earn transaction fees. That's why all these custodians like Quest and Equity Trust and all the other ones, that's why they do so many training events to teach people what to do with their IRA. Now, they cannot endorse anybody. Like if I was raising private money, they couldn't say, give Larry private money. He's been doing this for years. He knows what he's doing. Just write him a check. We'll help you out. They can't do that. They can endorse a specific investment, okay? But they can show people and train people and give them options and show them all the different things that are available for them to do with their money, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Good. Cool. Just a little side tip there for you.
Yeah, oh, that's great. Great to know.
Awesome. Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Anybody
Thanks
else have, or anybody have a question? Or you have another question, or anybody? Man, I'm over here in San Diego. I'm in Torrey Pines. What is it, La Jolla, Torrey Pines? I'm watching somebody use – I'm looking out over the ocean, over the golf course, and there's somebody – what do you call that? Parasailing. They got a parachute with a little motor on it, and they're just flying right over the golf course and out over the ocean. It's really wild. It's really pretty cool.
Oh.
This is a nice place out here. Anybody have a question?
Hey, Larry. This is Brian in Charlotte.
Hey, Brian. What's going on, buddy?
Not much. When is the next? Is it Anderson event? Is that the
yeah, you know, I am not sure. if you want to if you want to email customer service at LarryGoins.com, Corn will find out for you. Or you could probably just email Candace direct. He's just going to ask her. So if you email Candace, K-A-N-D-A-S, at LarryGoins.com, and she can tell you when the next one is. She may tell you she doesn't know yet or they don't have anything scheduled, but she will let you know whenever they do, because we usually let – or I shouldn't say usually. We do email all of our Inner Circle members every time they have an upcoming event. So you will probably get an email about it, but if you would like to email Candace, K-A-N-D-A-S, at LarryGoins.com, she will be glad to tell you if she knows of a specific date and location coming up.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Awesome. Awesome. Who else has a question? Anybody else have a question? All right, going once.
All right, I got one more.
Okay, sure.
All right, was that someone else that wanted to go first?
No, it's okay. You go ahead. Ladies first.
Okay. All right. My question was basically when we're going through, you know, working through like a listing agent, you know, for a property, a bank-owned property,
uh-huh.
And let's say it's $40,000, and, you know, we start learning, hey, this needs, you know, carpet, paint, you know, let's say a new Havoc unit. And
right.
Some other small thing, you know, maybe a new bathroom sink.
Right.
And then anyway, we chunk all that down. Let's say, you know, total in repairs comes down to $5,000.
Right.
And then, okay, so now you're at $35,000, but for the bank own, I mean, then you take that, then you actually, in order to put out an offer for that listing agent, you would actually put it to 18 or 22%, right?
Well, you're talking about the filthy riches model here, okay?
Right.
The 18 to 22%, although I do pay more than that now, depending on the deal, actually. But if you're wholesaling the deal, you're going to take the ARV, or if you're wholesaling or doing a fix and flip, you're going to take the ARV, after repaired value, times 0.7, 70%.
Okay.
And then you're going to subtract out the repairs, and your closing cost, and how much you want to make on the property, your wholesale fee, if any. If you're going to fix it and flip it, you don't need to do that. But if you're going to wholesale it, you got to back that out. Then that number below that is what you can pay for the property. So your first offer is going to be a little bit below that, if that makes sense.
Okay, yeah.
Now, if you're doing the filthy riches model, the seller financing model, you're going to take the low end of the rent comps. And then you're going to take the low end of the rent comps, and you're going to figure a payment based on that. That'll give you your loan amount plus whatever down payment. And that will tell you how much you could sell the property for. And remember, with the filthy riches deal, you want to sell the property for 3 to 6 times what you paid. So you divide by 3 or divide by 4, 5, or 6 to find out how much you could pay for it. Now, with the filthy riches model, I do like to keep my offers around, you know, 25, 30, 35%, although I have paid 50% for a property. But if it's a real filthy riches model where it's a dirt cheap, low-end price house, you're going to want to keep your purchase price around $5,000, $10,000, $15,000, even if it might be listed for $30,000 or $40,000. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. That does.
Good.
Okay.
Good. And if you need any help with those, okay, I know you're just getting started, and I know this is your first call with us and stuff, you know, and you're going to be coming to the office, but I want you to know that just reach out to me, shoot me an email, send the deal over, whatever, when you get close to having a deal put together, and I'll help you make sure that it's a good deal, okay?
All right, perfect. Yeah, because obviously, yeah, I'm shooting, you know, on a couple others. But, yeah, if I can go back doing this kind of formula, which I haven't been, if I go back doing that kind of formula, I think I'll be fine and stuff like that because, I mean, I've been doing some pretty good ARVs where a couple of realtors say I'm about right spot on. So, So
I think I got good.
Doing comps-wise, you know, doing pulling comps and all that, I think I got that down pat.
Good.
So,
that's great.
You know, it's just the other. It's just really for, like I said before, you know, it's just trying to see, you know, really repairs. Repairs is another thing. You know, I don't know, you know, how much things repair-wise cost, and then also the other.
Well, you could have
sure
a couple of contractors go out and take a look if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And they'll give you a free estimate.
That's
yeah,
right.
You could do that now, but I don't want you to get into doing any rehabs or any rentals, okay? That's
correct.
Not what you need right now, okay? We need to either get you
exactly.
some wholesale deals or some seller finance deals, and you can sell the note, okay?
Yep, perfect.
Good.
I'm on board.
Good, good. Awesome. So who's next as far as a question, or anybody have a question?
Yeah, Larry, I have another question.
Sure.
Do you ever pick up any rentals just for the cash flow, for income?
No.
You never do?
That was a pretty quick answer, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, I love real estate, but there's two things about real estate I hate.
Tenants.
And that's rehabs and tenants. So I don't have any tenants. All my tenants are commercial tenants. I don't have any residential tenants. And I don't do any rehabs. I hate rehabs and I hate tenants. So, and that's just a personal opinion. That's just my personal thing. You know, if you're experienced with dealing with contractors and can handle that, have the time and have the stomach for it, more power to you. If you have a way to manage your rentals where they're not calling you in the middle of the night, you know, because a light bulb burnout or because, you know, they stopped up the toilet or something, then, you know, more power to you if you can figure out a way to do that. But I buy stuff all around. I look for the deal. I love seller financing, and I love wholesaling. Those are the two things I love to do, owner financing and wholesaling.
That's right.
All right.
Good.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're very welcome. Glad I could help. So who's next? Anybody have a question? All right, going once. Any more questions? Going twice. Well, now you guys know that even if you don't get your question in today, you don't have to wait 2 weeks. You can always email me. Email me to larry@larrygoins.com. Always, always, always put Inner Circle in the subject line, okay, to make sure that that I answer it pretty quick. Even though I was here at the Mastermind, I have my laptop sitting in front of me, and I had probably 50, 60, 70 emails come in. Three were from Inner Circle students. Those were the first three that I answered, okay? So I do answer Inner Circle emails first and before all the other stuff. And but just know that I'm here for you. If I can help you with anything, please let me know, And please keep me up to date on what you're doing. When you do a deal, let me know. If you're just getting started with us or haven't done your first deal, send your deal over. When you get an offer accepted, send it over and let me take a look at it. I'll be glad to help you analyze the deal before you get too deep in it. Make sure that it is a good deal. I had someone send me a deal today that it looked good, except for it was in a really rough area. It had some high crime. There was a lot of red all over the map where the house was. So with high crime area, and they were paying too much for it. So and I let them know that. So please hit me back and let me know if you have any questions and need any help on any deals, because I want to make sure, number one, that I help you from making mistakes, and number two, that I help you to close a real good deal. Because, you don't just need to get a deal. You need to get a good deal, especially if it's your first one. I don't want you to make a mistake on analyzing a deal or getting stuck in something that you can't get out of. Make sense, guys? All right.
Yes.
Excellent. Well, guys, thanks so much for being on here. Thanks for your business. Thanks for your confidence in us. And unless somebody else has a question, I'm going to say good night, and I hope everybody has a great day. And let me know when you need anything. We're here for you. Okay, guys?
Sounds good.
All right.
Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Larry.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night.
Night.
Bye-bye.